Good morning, and I would like to thank the organizers for this invitation. It's a pleasure to be in Bologna in this exposition about smart cities. And I will speak about financing and business models. And especially, I would like to focus on something that we can call disruptive business model on smart cities, which is how to get the best value with the minimum amount of money. But before going there, just a few words about our laboratory. Thank you very much for the introduction. We are working since 2000 on the issue of smart cities. And this is the homepage of the laboratory. And our focus are mainly on issues on planning and governance. But before going to planning, we think that it's very important to define the drivers of intelligence. What makes cities intelligence? Because if we don't make clear that question, then we don't have an object, a field of planning. Also, we do a lot of work in terms of applications and solutions, and mainly open source solutions. We have worked in a large in different cities, mainly in Europe, either studies or applications, dealing with solutions, but also a lot related to collaborative innovation platforms, how a community or a cluster can work together in order to develop innovations, and also related to collaborative and distributed intelligence also at the level of the community. And here on these slides, you may there is a number of the main publications that we have published during the last last 10 years, either books or special issues in academic journals or free and open white papers. So the focus of my talk today will be on governance and disruptive business models. But before going that, I think it is important to give a picture of the diversity of smart cities, and also to address the issue, the question, at what level we think of the different business model. It is the level of the city. It is the level of technology, the district, the application. So we think that I think that it's important to give a very short and very quick picture of this diversity because before going to this discussion of business models. So a few words about the landscape of smart cities. A usual way to think of the evolution of smart cities during the last, let's say, 15 or 20 years from the beginning, it is to think in terms of the evolution of technology from Web 1, Web 2, and Web 3. So in terms of different waves of and different paradigms of technology. Initially, what can be said is the first wave started in the mid of the 90s. Most of the applications related to smart cities at the period were somehow digital representations of the city. Web 1 was one direction interaction between the city and the citizen. A key role was the institution that created and proposed this representation. And also, it was somehow top-down, that an institution, a community, a state authority, a big company could create a representation of the city, and then the citizens could follow that. And the type of intelligence that was included in this technology were somehow representational, that you could better understand the city through the representation. of the city. A second wave started from 2003 and continues today as a previous one, based on Web 2 solutions and applications in which there is no need to write the code, but you enter into a content management system and you upload content into a framework already being developed. There are quite many good examples of this perspective. Maybe, to my view, the most important it is the Singapore strategy. They call it Intelligent Nation 2015, started in 2005. And for every sector of the city, they looked for a different type of media that could somehow increase the competitiveness of the sector. Now, instead of the institution, the key was the user, because the content was created by the user. And the type of the intelligence that was included in this type of solutions were collective intelligence. The user, through the collective participation, created the additional value of this digital space. And probably two very representative, a very good example of this direction of thinking, it is the European Living Clubs initiatives, in which the user and the innovation within the Living Club is driven by the user, and also with the crowdsourcing platforms and very different fields of crowdsourcing. And then we come to the most recent wave, 2009 and onwards, in which somehow what was the role of the institution and the user, now it is the role of the sensor. The sensor, the smart meter, the smartphone become the dominant key device through which we have access to these spaces. But also, it's not only the virtual, only the application, but a lot of those devices are embedded into the physical space of the city. Libellium, it is a small company, a Spanish small company, created a large amount of different sensors that can be embedded into the physical space of city. And very well-known examples, it is the model of IBM, of this tradition, with instrumentation, interconnection, and intelligence. The Plan IT Valley in Portugal, in which a part of the sensors, there is the creation of the urban layer, an urban network in which somehow gives the possibility to integrate information from different type of sensors. And then at the top, it is the layer of the applications. And also in Santander, in northern Spain, a test bed funded by the European Commission is with an important number of sensors, which most of them are focusing on managing issues in energy mobility and the environment. But smart cities is not only about technology. It's not only about sensors or solutions and applications. And if you look in the different definitions and the way that we understand the smart cities, there is a lot written about the role of innovation. It is the city, of course, because smart cities are about cities, but also there is a lot about innovation, because at the end, if there is no innovation, there is no intelligence at all. And in many writings, you can find that the ultimate, let's say, indicator of intelligence is the capacity and the strength of innovation. But as well as in the case of the ITC and the digital technology, we have a large variety of solutions and infrastructures. Also in the field of innovation, we have very different models, user-driven, R&D driven, smart specialization, which is a new concept of innovation, is becoming dominant and will be dominant in Europe during the next years, for 2014 to 2020. So all these different combinations of technologies, of paradigms and solutions and trajectories of innovation, and the complexity of the city create an environment which is extremely complex and extremely variable. Those combinations between innovation processes, ICT or digital, and situation of the city cannot be implemented on the city overall, but they can be implemented on the level of the city districts or the city networks. And the key that makes this type of implementation necessary is the different governance that we have. At the level of the city, we don't have somehow an authority which cover all the different aspects of the city, but we have different pockets of government, the port authority, the university campus, the central business district. And because of this fragmentation of the governance, we cannot implement smart cities at the level of the city overall, unless it is related to networks and utilities, but we have to focus on the different districts. And the way that this model works, it is that starting from each city sector or city district, that the digital space or the sensors or the other applications offer us a sort of advanced functionalities in terms of information gathering, information processing, and knowledge functions related. Here on the slide, we have some few of them related to collection of intelligence, development of capabilities, development of new knowledge, dissemination of information. And because of this, somehow, of this amplification of the knowledge function, this is the drivers and the focus of intelligence that is created through applications and processes. So at the end, to close this introductory part about the diversity, speaking about smart cities, we have a very diverse field, a very diverse domain. On the slide, you may see big domains of application of smart city solutions in the field of the innovation economy of the city, city sectors or city clusters, in the field of smart infrastructure and utilities, for a better quality of life, environment, social divides, social care, health, and also a lot in the field of city government. And we think that it is to describe this diversity, you can speak about at least 30 or more different domains of applications, and to 200 or more applications and electronic services. So speaking now about business models and financing, it is on this level of the diversity, on 200 different solutions and 200 different electronic services, that we have to think about different business models. And that I will try to explain in the second part. During the last 3 years, we worked in a CIP project called People, together with four cities, Bilbao, Thessaloniki, Vitry, which is a suburb in Paris, and Bremen. And we looked at different city districts. Each of those pilots was focusing on a different district. For instance, in Vitry, the district was a habitation, a housing district. In Bilbao was the central commercial and cultural district. In Bremen was the university and the technology park. In Thessaloniki was an agglomeration, a smaller community close to the agglomeration. And through this project, we had the possibility to develop a planning and governance roadmap. And this roadmap, it is composed of three different stages and seven different steps. Stage one is about the definition of problems in the city and also taking into account the assets in terms of innovation processes, established infrastructure, IT capabilities, and so on. The second stage, the core one, it is having defined a problem or a strategy for the specific district is to think about a solution. And in particular, to think about how a community could be mobilized in order to give a response to this solution. And then the third stage, it is about implementing the solution, developing the IT applications or the other IT solutions, and also thinking about the business models. And the business model, it is a key component of this roadmap, because the business model defines a lot of the characteristics of the solutions. Because the business model defines the sum of the money, the funds that you have, the type of the funds, and having defined the type, let's say, at the volume, the temporal, the schedule of the funding, then you have to define a lot, many of the characteristics of the solution. So what is a business model? This is a very somehow a simple, simplified diagram of a business model. A business model do two important things. One, it is that defines how to create value by starting by the infrastructure and the skills of a company, going to the central block, which is the development and the definition of the product or the service of the company, and then moving right to the customers and to the market. But besides that, it is the finance. So you have the cost from the production of the service or the product, and you have the income, the revenue from the market. At the end, it is the profit. So the business model, it is it's not only about funding, but it is an overall solution about the capabilities, the product or the service, the market, and the financial part. And it does not tell how the value will be created, but it also tells about how you can capture a part of this value. There is a very good paper by Chesbrough. Chesbrough is one of the most known writers in the field of open innovation, who described somehow a sort of maturity and evolution of business model going from closed to open one. And closed business models are those initially without differentiation, no innovation at all. A company that or an organization that produces something similar to another company. At the end, at the bottom, you have business models in terms of platform. And platform-based business models are very important for smart cities, because in the platform, you can add capabilities from other organizations around. A typical example of platform-based business model, it is open source, in which you create something, but other actors, other companies, create something additional on that. So the platform, it is created collaboratively. And at the end, it is this collaboration that gives the strength to this business model. And platforms are very the best business model for smart cities. But if you think that we have said before, given the diversity of the smart cities, you cannot think of business models and value creation and appropriation of the value in terms of the city overall, not even in terms of the district. You have to think on the level of the applications and the solutions. And in this case, this is an example of the solutions that we have developed in the framework of the People Project, in which you have a virtual marketplace, a government, and we call it Improve My City solution, a virtual city tour, an intelligent transport system related to parking, and also sensors to monitor air pollution. We have started thinking of business models in terms of the different of these different applications and solutions. And there is a great variety of business models. For instance, public development and funding business model, in which the public authority give the funds to develop and later to operate the application. Advertising, in which you aim and you look at commercial oriented services, and the funds comes from the promotion and advertisement. Sponsors, in which sponsors contribute the funding for the solutions. Reselling, in which if the service, the electronic service or the application, it is successful, then maybe you can sell it to another organization, to another city. Free core and paying for additional features, in which you develop a core and which is free. But if you need additional features, then you pay. For instance, SurveyMonkey, which we may all use in the interviews and the questionnaires, and you can get for free for up to 10 questionnaires. But if you wish to send more questionnaires, then you have to pay free core and additional features. Leasing, in which some of the platforms or the solutions may be attractive to the private companies, and then you give it to a company, private company, for operation and exploitation. Data monetization, which means that you don't sell the solution, but you can sell the data, of course, under certain conditions. And also, what is crowdfunding, very important lately, in which it's not the public authority that gives the fund, but the crowdfunding, the crowd, the people, us, that because we find something interest, or we donate, or we think that through crowdfunding we will invest something and we have a return later. So per each application or solution, we have to develop a sort of SWOT and to think how, which are the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats for the different business model per application. And then out of this SWOT to select the best combination. Usually we don't select one business model, but a combination. For instance, we may start from public funding, then go on for, say, data monetization or promotion or other things. There is no need to go in detail on all these strengths and weaknesses. You have probably... it will be available and you may see it in detail later. So at the end, the business models and the solutions make a binary, a link, in which the solutions drives to think about the best combination of business models. But at the time that the business model is defined, then a lot of the characteristics of the solutions have to be somehow redefined, redeveloped, and to have a good correspondence between the model and the solution. And now I would like come to the final part of this presentation about thinking about disruptive business model. Business model in which very high and improved quality in terms of the application and the solution comes through a very low cost. And there is a number of pillars which appeared lately which give us the possibility to think about this family of disruptive business models. The first one is open source. There's no need to make an argument in favor of open source. But what we are trying to do, it is to develop a sort of repository of open source solutions. Already, we call it ICOS, Intelligent Cities Open Source. And we have created a community around this. Already, we have identified 50 different applications on open source. And we think that in very short time, it will be able to have open source solutions for most of, let's say, 200 necessary solutions for smart cities. And also another advantage of the open source, it is that each one of them, it is supported by a community of participants and developers. The second pillar is open data. Open data, it is data that you can use, governments, statistics, you have a lot of open data, traffic, weather, the right part of the slide gives a lot of different categories of open data, cultural, historic, heritage, science, financial, and so on. And open data gives the possibility to address a key issue of the cost of operation, the need of continuous renewal of data. Because if you have a solution or an application which you don't renew, then it becomes obsolete very quickly. And also open data have to be open to reuse and to redistribute, usually through the internet. So it is the access also, it's quite free, open, and easy. And also there is no discrimination and against the user. I mean, it is universal, open, and participation. And the third one pillar, it is the cloud-based solutions. If you look also in the right part, cloud in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of the platform, and in terms of the applications. What is important in the case of the cloud, it is that you don't pay for the infrastructure and the solutions, but you pay along the use. And along the use means that you have the user, you have the market in which to provide funds and to support this type of infrastructure. So how those three, let's say, pillars and ingredients can combine open source, open data, and cloud? In the first place, you can build a cloud solution using open source software. This is a very high-level illustration of this type of solutions. It is based on OpenStack. For instance, you can use open source computing, Nova, open source networking, Quantum, open source dashboard, Horizon, and so on. Different open source solutions. You don't pay for this software. What you pay only, it is the hosting. But hosting, you will see later, it is depending on the markets and the customer. Then, having created this cloud, infrastructure, you develop a platform. And on the platform, you have a core, you have a periphery. What is on the core of the platform, it is that stock of open source solutions, let's say 50 for the moment, but hundreds of them. If you go, for instance, to GitHub, you will find millions of open source that not so customized or used, ready to use for smart cities, but in the long term, they will be. And there is a perimeter. Perimeter, it is a firewall, it is authentication, it is analytics, it is benchmarking. So the second part of this technological solution is to create the platform. And the third one, it is to actualize smart cities and applications. And you have the core, and you have, for instance, we start working with that with four cities, Valladolid, Aguenda in Portugal, Valladolid in Spain, Aguenda in Portugal, Manchester and Thessaloniki in Greece, in which once you have created a mirror of the core, and the mirror can be either the entire core or a part of it, and with one click you can somehow create this mirror, then you have and the perimeter, the firewall and the analytics come to enclose that city that has become part of the perimeter, then you have with one click develop all the necessary infrastructure to make this smart city operational for the number of applications that have selected. So to conclude with this slide, what you have with this type of business model, you have an enormous reduction of cost, because we have economy in terms of open source solutions, in terms of open data, user-driven data, in terms of cloud-based economies, zero entry cost, scalability of cost, pay-per-use, cost corresponding to revenue. This is very important for the business model. And we have an increased quality of service in terms of one-click installation, central update of the new versions. You don't need it to do for every city. Empowerment of users, because in open source solutions, the users will try to go in and develop their skills to manage and implement. Expanding of open source libraries, instance scalability, security and so on against threats. At the end also, analytics and benchmarking, because cities becoming part of the same cloud, which is this one, then, and also within the same perimeter, then it is possible to develop benchmarks and to compare the efficiency, the cost, the revenues, and so on among cities, and to get a better understanding of what is happening, what is going in one case, and how it can be implemented in another city. More on our website at URAN York. Thank you very much for your attention.